Listen as I read from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. It's a familiar piece, but listen with new ears. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jan, for bringing us the word of God this morning. And good morning. I'd like to thank Eileen and the children. This past month, you have so well helped us to understand Advent and what these candles mean, and we celebrate the Christ candle. So thank you for helping us in our worship, Eileen and children. Your joy in your face radiates the good news of Christmas in our children. And for the music, we've been blessed, and we will continue to be blessed. We're going to have some extra singing as well after the sermon. So thank you to Steve and to everyone that's wonderfully leading us in this music. These songs of worship help to tell the story that we have gathered to proclaim together. "Oh, come all ye faithful, we will sing joy to the world. Angels we have heard on high." One of my personal favorite Christmas songs is Silent Night. There's a little bit of history and probably some legend as well that goes with this song. It was the night before Christmas, and not a creature was stirring except for the mice at St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, Austria, who were busy chewing through the bellows of the organ. Their handiwork left the church's priest, the Reverend Joseph Moore, scrambling to find music for a Christmas Eve service. So he dashed off a few lines about the night Jesus was born and asked composer Franz Xaver Gruber to set the lyrics to a simple tune played on guitar. On that night, over 200 years ago, the two stood in front of the church's nativity set and performed a song that began with the words, Stille Nacht, Heilig Nacht, better known as Silent Night. The song, as we all know, would go on to become one of the most beloved Christmas carols, translated into more than 300 languages, and sung all over the world by artists from Bing Crosby to Beyoncé, and, as we will sing as a song of response this morning, in churches all over the world. Why does that song capture us? We live in a noisy chapter in history, it seems. Busier than ever, louder than ever, filled with the news and media and consumption around us. Silent Night speaks to this time to pause, to reflect. Even the title speaks to people. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm and all is bright. But here's the thing. All was not just calm and silent for everyone that holy night. We have to be a little bit careful with these kinds of songs not to too quickly sentimentalize Christmas. Mary and Joseph were trying to find a safe home to have their baby Jesus. They had to travel 90 miles to the city of Joseph's ancestors, south along the flatlands of the Jordan River, then west over the hills surrounding Jerusalem and into Bethlehem. It must have been a grueling trip. Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright. We don't know for sure what Mary and Joseph were feeling, for sure. But one thing that we hear in this song as well is that the shepherds are a part of this Christmas story. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. We read in this Christmas story that these shepherds are shuddering with fear. We read in verse 8, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And it says they were terrified. I'd probably be shuddering with fear too. But I'm so glad that this Christmas story includes the shepherds, because I think the shepherds have a lot to teach us. To hear those words, fear not, that the shepherds heard. And then the shepherds embody those words, and they don't fear, they're not held back, and they do go and see this baby Jesus. We hear of these shepherds only in Luke's gospel, and only in the second chapter. They come into this story, and they are never heard from again, except for every single year when we celebrate the Christmas story. But I think it's significant that shepherds are a part because they are witnesses. They are the first ones to be witnesses. God could have chose the rich and powerful, those in the military, the government, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees or Sadducees, to be the first witnesses to this story, to hear the good news of great joy. But rather, our God chooses shepherds, considered part of most likely the lower, poor class, who in that society were not at the top of the power chain, but maybe near the bottom. That's who God chooses to first bear witness to this story. And the angels tell the shepherds to not be afraid, a command that has been heard a few times already in Luke, in the announcement of the birth of John and Zechariah, and the birth of Jesus to Mary. The irony is profound that the messenger angel brings news of joy and of God's presence in powerlessness, like the lowly shepherds. We continue reading in this story in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they go with haste, and they find Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and we are told that all who hear it were amazed. This morning, in our call to worship, in our fellowship, our singing, our prayers, our community, and our reading of Scripture, we also bear witness to this Savior, just as the shepherds did over 2,000 years ago. Our Advent theme, as Jan has read this morning, and our focus statement, "The Lord is our righteousness," and the specific statement for this morning, "Today we proclaim God's love revealed in the Son, the Word made flesh, who brings together all creation in Him. In Christ's birth and life, we come to understand righteousness as God's love for all creation, a love in which we are called to participate." This good news of great joy for the shepherds and for all of us is that it's because God loves each of us. It's God's commitment from the very beginning in Genesis to the very end in Revelation and continuing salvation history that we are a part of today. This is God's commitment throughout all of salvation history to not give up on any of us. Christ coming to earth is the most profound statement God could make, that He will not abandon you or give up on you, no matter what you have experienced or you're currently going through. That's Christ coming to this earth for our salvation. Because of God's great love for each of us and God's desire to walk with each of us, that is good news. And we need good news of great joy in our world right now. I don't have to tell you that we are living in painful, divisive times in our world and in the own brokenness of our own selves that we live with. Whether it's political chaos and division, division in the church, pain, even within our church institutions, our own physical sicknesses, chronic illness, the shame that all of us acknowledge we have deep down, myself, the shame that we live with, the violence in the world, busyness, full calendars that overwhelm us. All of this is really hard. And as I think about that song, "Silent Night, Holy Night," and I think about the pain that maybe the shepherds were feeling, or the feelings of overwhelmness that Mary and Joseph were feeling as they were trying to find a place to sleep that night and there was no room in the inn. Can you imagine the anxiety that maybe they were feeling? Maybe this morning that your own anxiety or your own pain or whatever you are facing, it's real, friends. Christmas is not a time to gloss over what's hard right now in our lives. Be honest with God about it. God hears it. And God hears it, and God is not giving up on you or any of us collectively, our nation or our world. In the midst of that pain, right now, this is the good news that we proclaim today with great joy. That to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. It's good news that we're all invited to participate in. By loving God, loving our neighbor, being kind to one another, doing justice, working for the right thing in our world. In conclusion, we read in verse 18 that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And we are told that Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. And what do the shepherds do in this story? They return, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And we're a part of this story. God's story is our story. We are a part of this story. And so just as the shepherds return glorifying and praising God, even in the midst of maybe their hardships and brokenness, we also are invited to continue to return glorifying and praising God. Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright. While Silent Night may have been performed for the first time 200 years ago, amidst a very trying time in Austria's history, because it was at the end of the Napoleonic Wars. For countless churchgoers, though, that moment of quiet reflection that song captures is what Christmas is about. A moment amidst the noise of the holidays when we can stop and pause and reflect and remember Christ coming into this world. It's a moment to gather with family and friends, as we will do in the coming days, to remember a holy infant so tender and mild. And yet, ironically and paradoxically, it's also a Savior who will turn the world upside down, and it won't always be quiet and calm when Christ comes to turn the world upside down. Silent night, that holy night, when good news with great joy for all came to earth. Amen.